And I invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 12 as we'll be looking at the final verses of that chapter for today. Phobias are the most common mental illness in the United States, and I'm pretty sure it's global, but this statistic is coming specifically from the United States. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, NIH, approximately 12.5% of adults in the U.S. will deal with a specific phobia in their lifetime. Women are more likely to experience phobia than men. Typical symptoms of phobias can include nausea, trembling, rapid heartbeat, feelings of unreality, and being preoccupied with fear object. The American Psychiatric Association identifies three different categories of phobias. There's social phobias, agoraphobia, and specific phobias. So when people talk about having a phobia of a specific object, such as fear of snake or fear of spiders or fear of needles, then they're referring to a specific phobia. Now, one simple search on Google and you will find out how much fear exists in the world in which we live, how crippling they are to individuals who harbor these kinds of fear. From acrophobia, the fear of darkness, to zoophobia, the fear of animals, fear has its factor from A to Z. And it was fascinating looking, researching, and seeing how many fears or how many different phobias there are. It's mind-blowing. The passage that we have before us that Sister Paul read for us in Genesis 12, Abram, and again before the name changed from Abram to Abraham, but Abram found himself battling one of these fears. To name it in modern terms, he was battling necrophobia. And that is the fear of dying or the fear of death. Now, of course, if you do a research, you find that this is the most common fear among human beings, fear of death or fear of dying. And it will probably rank even number one on the list. What makes this passage, though, so fascinating is that when you look at the first nine verses, Abraham exhibited a faith that is beyond description in terms of a human being. When God called him, there was no hesitation. We saw that, and we refer back to those verses as we go on into the sermon. But it's fascinating that Abraham went from fear, from faith, a life of faith, to complete and total fear. He went from exhibiting extraordinary faith, because this faith was beyond our wildest imaginations, to just right off the bat, you're in a pagan culture, pagan society, you're living a pagan lifestyle. God calls you and you just drop everything and say, okay, I'm going wherever you're calling me. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going to go. And he went from extraordinary fear, faith, to being completely paralyzed by fear. And we will see the outcome, and we're going to look at the outcome of fear as it's described for us here in the passage before us. In verse 11, when he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. So say you are my sister, that it will go well with me. And I want you to pay attention to the personal pronouns there. It's all about Abraham. So that it will go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake. From faith to fear, that is the passage that we have before us. Father, as we enter into these verses of scripture, Lord, may you encourage our hearts. Speak to us, Lord, and may we go with objective minds, knowing that your word is sufficient and beneficial for all of us, regardless of our own personal feelings. God, I pray you'll strengthen us and that we learn from this complete turnaround in Abraham's life, from a life of faith in you to exhibiting a complete and total fear of a possibility. God, strengthen us and speak to us for Christ's sake. Amen. So Abraham went from exhibiting, as I said earlier, extraordinary faith in the God whom he served to being paralyzed by fear. So the first outcome, or the first thing that I want to highlight to us about fear, is that fear in itself is unfounded. Fear is unfounded. And what I mean by this is fear has no foundation. Fear is baseless. Fear is vain. It's futile. Fear has no foundation. It's unfounded. And what fear does, what makes fear unfounded or baseless or vain, is the fact that it clouds one's thinking. We look at Abraham's story, and Abraham resorted to what? To lying. And he conspired to lie. He made sure that everybody in his camp, because even though it was referring to Sarah in the text, no doubt that people who were with him, he would have been included in that and be a part of that. So he included his wife in this vain ploy, and by default, all who were with him. So it clouded his thinking completely. And when we as human beings succumb to fear, our sense of reasoning is gone. And if you have come to any point in your life where you have been stricken by fear, whatever the fear might be, whatever the phobia might be, you realize after the fact that, man, what I did was completely irrational. It was silly. It was nonsensical. So when we succumb to our fears, our sense of reasoning is gone. And this is what we find in the text with Abraham. The only thing that comes to mind is avoiding whatever is causing fear in our lives at all cost, by any means necessary. And that's what Abraham was doing here. Abraham didn't try to face to his fear, but he tried to avoid his fear. With a fearful mind, in some cases, what was once logical, what was once irrational, because of fear, the irrational and the illogical becomes rational and logical. It makes sense when we allow our lives to be driven and controlled by fear. And this is how the mind tries to cope with the things that we fear the most. And there's a sense of self-deception as well when it comes to fear. We deceive ourselves. We get a sense of false security. We believe that if we resort to this methodology, or if we do this, or if we try to cope or do that, then we will be safe and we'll be secured. It gives us that false sense of security. So fear, it clouds our thinking. And I want you to know that Abraham wasn't thinking of his wife. He was thinking of himself. So it's selfish. It causes selfishness on the part of us at times. He was only thinking about himself. He wasn't thinking about the people that he had with him, what the repercussion may have been or might be if the Egyptians find out that he is lying to them. He was willing to let his wife go and be with other men in order to save his life. This is how irrational Abraham was in his mindset, was in his thinking. It clouds our thinking. And with fear, again, another reason why it's unfounded, why it's vain, why it's baseless, why it's useless. It craves self-preservation over perseverance. Let me repeat that. It craves self-preservation over perseverance. To put it another way, fear drives us to only try to preserve our own lives instead of trying to persevere in life. And this was what happened with Abraham. He was doing everything in his power to make sure that he stayed alive. New life, when heavenly-minded saints become earthly-minded, we want to cling to the things that we can see. We want to cling to the things that we can touch. We want to cling to the things that we can taste, all the senses. We want to hold on to dear life for those things instead of seeking those things that are above, seeking or setting our minds, setting our affection on heavenly things. And this is not to say, folks, if some of you are thinking this is not to say we're going to throw caution to the wind. This is not to say you're going to go on the 401, to use an arbitrary illustration, and just clock it. You're not going to throw caution. You're going to be cautious. But it's not a caution that is driven by fear. Fear of dying takes precedence. That's what happened to Abraham. He didn't want to die. He didn't, and we're going to see later on the ramification of this nonsensical thinking from the part of Abraham. But it clouds our thinking. It causes us to think only of self-preservation, whether it's saving my life or securing my own safety or whatever it is. It leads us to self-preservation and, by default, selfishness. But fear also causes chaos. It also causes chaos. And if you've watched any government movies, what these movies, Men in Black, for example, this is a secret agency that try to instill hope in people so that they don't get a sense of the unknown and drive fear and terror in their lives. They make it so that they eliminate fears from human beings because they know once fear sets in, it's going to be panic. You're watching a movie and there's a fire and people say, okay, exit calmly in a single file. You may as well just tell them to run and trample on each other and just go nuts. Because that's what's going to happen. Fear takes over and it's self-preservation. It causes chaos. Abraham's fear prompted him to deceive the Egyptians, and that he did. His psychological problem affected all whom he came into contact with, all whom he encountered. This was a psychological thing. It wasn't a certainty that the Egyptians were going to kill him because he had a beautiful wife. He just thought that this was going to be the case, and he acted upon that. Fear, folks, especially chronic fear, has no logic to it. What fears, or what fear, singular or plural, have clouded your thinking? What illogical, irrational, baseless decision have you made because you have allowed fear to take a hold of your life? For many of us, is the fear of death causing you to focus on just self-preservation instead of persevering to the end to the which we are called? To my unsaved friends, is the fear of your friends laughing at you, mocking you, making fun of you, or even outright rejecting you, ostracizing you, demonizing you, causing you to not surrender your lives to Jesus Christ, causing you to not accept him as Lord and Savior of your life? Is the fear from friends or the pressure from family members, and you fear how your family is going to view you? You fear how your family is going to interact with you from here on out? Is the fear of missing out on the good stuff in life, and I quote good stuff in life, clouding your judgment, making you irrational and illogical, causing you to deviate more and more away from Christ because you want what is here and now, and life is good as is, and this is all I want? Whatever it is, whatever is clouding your judgment, whether you're saved or unsaved, whatever it is that is clouding your thinking, they're unfounded. Jesus Christ came so that you and I can have liberty, freedom in him, and that expands both spiritually and physically. Fear is unfounded, but fear is also unmindful. It's baseless, it's vain, it has no foundation, it's irrational. It's unmindful. And what I mean by this, it lacks conscious awareness. When one is fearful, we lack conscious awareness, or simply put, it makes us forgetful. Fear makes us forgetful. Again, this was the case with Abraham. In verse 16, we're told he had many things. He had ox, he had sheep, he had servants, etc. Abraham forgot the benefits and blessings of God. And we do that as well. Like Abraham, we also forget God's benefits. We also forget God's blessing. And this is both physical and spiritual. Has fear driven you to the point where you have forgotten God's blessings and provision in your life? Maybe the fear of the world economy collapsing has crippled you. Maybe the fear that the world economy is crushing and it's crumbling and the world governments can't do anything or do much about it is causing you to be at the edge of your couch every time you watch news, every time you think about it. The fear of the skyrocketing in prices, food shortage, which are all cause for concern, yes. But have you forgotten the God that says he will supply all your needs according to his riches? Have you forgotten the God that said, look at the grass. It's not even Solomon could have dressed more beautifully than that grass. And today that grass is decked out in all its glory. Tomorrow it's in the fire. Look at the birds. They don't worry. They don't toil. They just go about their life. God takes care of the birds. And Jesus said, how much more so you are his. As fear, whatever fear it is, caused you to forget the God that has blessed you beyond measure. Have you forgotten that he is our great shepherd? Have you forgotten Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack. I shall not want. Abraham forgot that this is the God who provides for him. He also forgot God's promises. And this is what I was referring to earlier. Abraham totally forgot that God says, I'm going to bless you. I will make your name great. I will bless you. And you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And not only that, but I'll curse those who curse you. And that would include the Egyptians. He was secure with God. But he forgot that because fear caused him to forget. I will make you a great nation. And because of you, all the families of this earth will be blessed. Now think on this to show you how irrational fear makes us. If Abraham was thinking on these things and was holding on to his faith in God for dear life, he wouldn't have come to this conclusion of lying. Because if he dies, how is his name going to be great? If he dies, how is his posterity going to inherit the land that God says I'm going to give them? If he had died, or if he's going to die, how will all the nations of the earth be blessed through him? He wasn't thinking along those lines. He just thought, man, I fear death. I don't want to die, so I'm going to conjure up this lie so that I can save my life. He forgot God's blessings. He forgot God's promises, and so do we. We also, and Abraham as well, forget God's faithfulness. Who brought Abraham thus far? Who has brought him through Canaan from Ur of the Chaldees to this point? Yes, he was escaping a famine, which makes sense. But who has brought him thus far? Who has kept him thus far? At what point did God desert Abraham? Or imply that he was going to desert Abraham? At no point. And ask yourselves those very questions. Who has brought you thus far? What is the conditional clause on God's faithfulness to you? And what I mean by that is God saying, or has God said, he'll be faithful to you only in the good times? Has he said to you, or in your Bible, it doesn't say in mine, but in your Bible, I'll be faithful depending on the circumstances that you're in, depending on the situation that you're in, depending on the climate that you're in, depending on the mental state that you're in? There's no conditional clause, and that's the point I'm trying to make. I hope you got that. There's no conditional clause, folks, to God's faithfulness towards us. He has never said that, no, I can't come with you on this journey. Sorry, you're on your own. As he told Joshua, I was with Moses, I will be with you. And that's a promise that goes right through the scripture for God's people, not just for the Old Testament saints, not just for the apostles and the New Testament saints, but for his people. Abraham forgot how faithful God was and still is to him. And we also tend to forget that when we allow fear to corrode our vision and our mindset. But not only that, we forget our faithfulness to God. Not only do we forget God's faithfulness, not only do we forget his promises, not only do we forget his benefits and his blessings, but we forget that we ought to be and remain faithful to God. Remember, this is the same Abraham, as I said earlier, that just packed up and left. He just grabbed his stuff. God said, Abraham, leave your family, leave your friends, leave everything you have and own. Leave the country that you grew up in and the town and the city to a place that I'm going to show you. And he just left. And Abraham completely forgot that. Fear is baseless. It's vain. But fear is also forgetful. It's unmindful. It's unfounded. Imagine if Abraham acted in fear earlier in this chapter. Imagine if he put into question the unknown, what may be or might be, or the potential or the possibilities or the probabilities. What if he had thought along those lines as opposed to just getting up and go? He exhibited a life of faith from the very outset of this verse, or this chapter rather. And that, folks, that new life ought to be the defining mark for him. That ought to be the defining mark for us. Not going, living our lives in fear and dread of nothing except for reverential fear for God. That is the only fear that we're commanded to have in scripture, a reverential fear of God. No other fear, whether it's of death or sickness or disease or human beings or the unknown, the future. We are not commanded to fear anything or anyone except for God in a reverential manner. Fear is unfounded. It has no base. It has no foundation. It's vain. Fear is unmindful. It causes one to lack conscious awareness. It makes one forgetful of who God is to us and what he has done for us and what he continues to do for us. But finally, fear brings unhappiness. It brings unhappiness. Such was the case with the Egyptians at the end of the passage. When they found out what Abraham did, and they're like, what have you done? Verse 18, why did you tell us that she's your sister? Why did you not tell us that she's your wife? God afflicted Pharaoh's house because of the decision that Abraham made out of fear. But not only did the house of Pharaoh was unhappy, but Abraham himself, Abraham and those who were with him experienced unhappiness in the fact that Pharaoh said, okay, get away from us. We don't want nothing to do with you. So now Abraham has to go on the hunt again for a place to find food and lodging for his family and those who are with him. He has to go on the hunt for food again, all because he acted in fear. Because of fear, our ability to think clearly most times, if not all the time, is non-existent. It causes us to lose our sense of awareness. And as a result, in some cases, it causes us to be very unhappy, even unhealthy. I'm going to share four possible outcomes with you of chronic fear. Chronic fear. One is physical health issues. And this is a research that I did in preparation for this. This is not my own thing. I researched this. Physical issues or physical health issues is one outcome of chronic fear. Fear can weaken the immune system. And when I read this, it was mind-boggling to think that a psychological thing has such a physical impact on human beings. But yet still, we still cause it, allow it to have these physiological outcomes in our lives. Fear can weaken the immune system and can cause cardiovascular damage. That's heart issue, folks. Gastroenteritis or gastroenteritis problems, such as ulcer or IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, can also decrease fertility. It can lead to accelerated aging and even premature death. It also affects memory. We saw that in the case with Abraham and with us by application. Fear can impair formation of long-term memories and cause damage to certain parts of the brain. This can make one more anxious. So this spikes and causes anxiety. Brain processing and reactivity is the third one. Fear can interrupt process in our brains that allows us to regulate emotions, read nonverbal cues and other information that are presented to us. This affects our thinking and decision making in negative ways. Again, Abraham, leaving us with intense emotions and impulsive reactions. These effects can leave us unable to act appropriately. And these go in tie into what I've been saying with Abraham throughout this passage. The fourth one is mental health. So there is the physical health issues, memory, brain processing and reactivity, and mental health. Other consequences of long-term chronic fear includes fatigue, PTSD, and that is post-traumatic stress syndrome, and clinical depression. So here's a question for you. If you're skeptical about these and thinking they're far-fetched or they're made up, or ask yourself this question: why is it that God in his word has told us over 100 times in both Testament not to fear, or don't be afraid, whatever terminology is used? And of course, in the context of don't be afraid of evil or hardship or trying circumstances, if it didn't have a physiological effect on human beings, I don't think he would reiterate it this many times. But this is just me. Do you think that God knows that this is our natural tendency as human beings, why he has to tell us over and over and over again, over 100 times? Do you think he knows that this is our natural tendency? Do you think he knows that fear, chronic fear, has a crippling physical effect on human beings, and God doesn't want that for us? He knows us more than we know ourselves. Do you think that God wants his people to live a life of fear or faith instead of living a life of fear? Do you think God wants us to be like Abraham, to go from a life of extraordinary faith to extraordinary fear? Do you think he knows the physical effects and he wants us to avoid those? He wants us to avoid those. Many of you may have heard that the fear is listed in the Bible 365 times, and the connotation is one per for each day. Now, in my research, and I did look it up, multiple sources, and this has been proven to be misconception. It's a misinformation, hence why I have it's over 100 times, 103, 104, depending on the translation of the Bible that you're using. Right? But people use the 365 misconception as well. There's one for each and every day. But let me ask you this, folks. If Jesus Christ said it once and only once in all 66 books of the Bible, should that be enough for us not to fear? Yes, it should be. To answer my own rhetorical question, yes, it should be enough. If he said it only one time, it should be enough. And that should settle it. We shouldn't have to conjure up one per day for each day of the year for us to be completely satisfied that we shouldn't fear. Jesus Christ, if he said it once, which he hadn't, because it's said over 100 times, the one time that he said it should suffice for 365 days. It should suffice for the 24/7 days of the week. And every second, every minute, every hour. From faith to fear. And we saw the rippling effects of how one reacts in a life of fear. And for you as believers, I don't know what fear has gripped you, but let me bring it in the context of ministry and service to God. You might be thinking, man, I cannot stand in front of people, even if it's kids, even if it's the youth, especially adults. I am petrified, which would be the second leading fear among human beings, the fear of public speaking. One of my professors said two things that people fear the most is they're afraid of death, and they're scared to death of public speaking. But what ministry, and even if it doesn't involve you standing in front of a crowd, what is it that God has called you to do? What fear in your life that God wants you to get rid of, that you're irrationally, forgetfully holding on to for dear life? And it's making you unhappy, it's making you unhealthy, but you're holding on to it because your irrational thinking thinks this is the way to go. Again, unsaved friends, there are many things that you might fear in life. Not only the fear of family rejection and friends rejection, but other things. And they're driving you to a point in your life where thinking rationally isn't natural. Folks, God does not want us to live our lives in fear of nothing, anything. And let me just say this, quoting 2 Timothy 1:7. You can quote it, you might know it so well that you can say it's on page 565 of my King James Bible. Unless you allow that verse, and the verse says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. It doesn't matter how many times you quote it and how well you can quote it and how well familiar you are with it. Until we allow that verse, and it's with every passage of scripture, to permeate our lives and take hold, and actually we start living it, it's pointless. It's futile. It's similar to us saying, oh, I have faith and I trust God. until we actually let this be a demarcation and a defining thing in our life, or defining character trait in our life, you may as well stop quoting verses, whether it's about fear or whether it's about faith or whether it's about love or whatever it is, folks. It's pointless. It's futile. And Abraham thought little to nothing of the people who were around him. He thought little to nothing of his wife. Can you imagine having your wife in a position like that, where she would be given to other men just because you think this is the way to go? This is self-preservation. This is how my life will be spared. That's not how God wants us to live. He doesn't want us to live our lives in cowering in fear. He shows us that with Abraham, and there are so many other examples in Scripture, and Abraham will come up again with a similar scenario. He doesn't expect that of his people. Let us trust him. Let us put our confidence in him. An unsaved friend, may you surrender your lives over to Christ and allow him to have his way in your life, so that whatever anxiety and fear and doubt that you might have and will have, you can bring that to the foot of the cross and let Jesus Christ take it. Father God, what a timely message for us. God, we are a people, and even outside of the pandemic, Lord, who are crippled with fear. There's always something that strikes terror in our lives. And this is not the life that you've called us to live. God, you have given us your Spirit, and you say greater is he that is in us than he that is within the world. And Lord, you are greater than our fears. You're greater than our failures, our sorrows, our incompetence, Father God. And may we reflect on these passages, these verses of Scripture, how fear crippled your servant, Abraham, momentarily, Lord. And learn from that. But may we also reflect on the pages of the passages before, the verses before, that this is the life you expect from your people, because there's no equal grounds to have live your life in fear and faith at the same time. It's not possible to do both. It's one or the other. One drives away the other. But may it be faith in you that drives away the fears of this world and of this life. God, may you strengthen us. And may you give us the grace to serve you, Lord, and to live a life that is fully devoted to you in dependence and trust in you, for Christ's sake. Amen.